what their net worth is. It is amazing. But they only give you the net worth of those people who make a lot of money, who are worth a lot. How much is a person who lives in a tent and has an addiction, how much are they worth? Well, society today would tell you that they're not worth much at all. They're not worth much at all. A three-year-old that might have cancer, how much are they worth? They're not worth much at all. The world will forget them. The family won't, but family in time, after the third generation, our family members are all forgotten. Even if you are one of those family tree people who love to look at the family tree, you didn't know them. If you're lucky, you can talk to a great-grandmother, a great-grandfather, and you can talk to them, and they'll know some people that you didn't know, but they're not going to be around long, and they're going to pass, and those names are going to be forgotten. And then we might know people like Attila the Hun, people that might, like, way back when, we might know just some, like, Henry the Eighth, the kings, those people that had that notoriety. But still, we forget. We got history books that tells us some things, but history books are history books. They just give you a glimpse of what it might be, their highlight or their low points. I'm wondering how much a person really is worth. How much are you worth? The world would say you're worth about, I don't know where my wife is sitting, but I would say, where's she at? She might be, oh, there she is in the back. She didn't want to have a coffee and a tax, but I would say, how much are we worth together? Still, we wouldn't amount to much at all. And the expectations of what the world would say on the scale of importance and the scale of wealth. But I want to read some scriptures to you today. I want to share with you, I want to answer maybe about three or four different questions today. And one of those is, how much are you worth? How much are you worth, really? How much are you worth? I want to go to John chapter 3. I do want to tackle that piece there today, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, starting in verse 16, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Then anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may be not exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that you were bought with a price. So we can say, how much are we really worth? Well, the world would say we're not worth much unless we have something to show. And we have a big bank account. We have lots of property. We have assets to show. But God would say differently. Because the world doesn't love you. It just wants something from you. And it wants all that you have. The Lord has this piece here. We see that Jesus says that God loved the world so much that he did give his only Son. For anyone that would believe. And for that to happen, there was a great cost. And it says that you were bought at a price. Ezekiel 33:11 says this, "Tell them as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked person should turn from his way and live. Repent, repent of your evil ways. Why will you die, house of Israel?" The Lord is speaking to the house of Israel, saying, listen, I would rather you turn. I don't want you to go down the wrong path. I want you to come into me. I don't want you to die. I want you to repent, to repent. So we have two things. We have the world that's telling us that we can do it our way, that it is all about accumulating all that you had to make yourself worth in this world. And we have another way where God is saying that you are worth something to him regardless of what you have. Regardless of who you are. You see, the world's peace always goes to extends to how much do you have, what your name is, how famous you are, how important you are. You could be a big fish in a small town, like here, where everybody may know you. You can be a big fish in a state. Here it is. God looks at people as people. You see, even the person that's in prison, some of us have people that we know in prison, family members. I want to remind you that God loves them too. The world society, they've done some things. There's consequences to our actions. But then the world puts people aside, puts them in behind bars for a certain amount of time. But I want to remind you that the gospel pierces even through the bars of jail and prison. And God loves people. God loves his people. Second Peter 3 says this, dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The Lord does not delay in his promise, as some understand delay, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. The Lord is wanting all people to come to repentance. But when we have this rebellious spirit that when we're lost, we just fight against God. We don't want anything to do with the Lord. When we are saved, we have salvation. We just rebel in different ways. We don't want to do what God wants us to do, even though we know his voice. But here it is. God wants all people to come to repentance, to come to know who Christ is. So how much are we worth in the eyes of the world? Whatever your figure is, that's what the world says. But what is it? And how much are you worth to the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything. Everything. I always believe that Jesus is a heart collector. Every heart is different. If you've ever collected coins, you always want the one that's hard to find. You collect pop cans, you collect baseball cards, you want them all. You want them all. You want as many as you can. You want them all and every one that is. And if you have duplicates, you want to trade. You want to get the card that you don't have. Here's the thing. You have to purchase those cards. You can't afford some of those cards. You can't afford a Babe Ruth rookie card. You can't afford that. But I want to remind you that Jesus paid a price so high that he can afford everyone's soul. Every person. He has purchased every person. He has shed enough blood to forgive them of their sins. He has done what he needed to do to be able to purchase all human beings because he believes that they're worth it. But we do push people away, don't we? We do push people away that share the gospel. People push people away that do. We push away God at times. People do. So my second question is, well, the first is, how much are you worth? You are worth everything to God. Everything. My second question would be this. Why is it so hard for you fill in the blank? Why is it so hard for Uncle John to come to Jesus? Why is it so hard for my mom to come to Jesus? Why is it so hard for my family to come to the Lord? Why is it so hard for so-and-so, my friend, to have salvation and to come to Christ? Why is it so hard? How many of you prayed a lot for a lost loved one? Come on now. Because if you stop praying, let me tell you, you're not seeing salvation. You need to keep praying. You can't stop praying. It's a battle. So I want to share with you, why is it so hard for people not to come to Christ? And when you share, and you're like, I've shared so much, and now they're putting a wall between me and themselves, and I feel like our friendship is becoming strained. And you know what? We got to keep praying because there's something more going on in the midst. The world wants to continue to keep people making their value into the world, not their value in Christ. 2 Corinthians is going to share with us in chapter 4 here. He says this, therefore, since we have this ministry, we were shown mercy, and we do not give up. Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. But if our gospel is veiled, that means if they're not listening to it, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory, God's glory, in the face of Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He said, when we share the gospel, and when it's veiled and they're not listening, it is the God of this age, the darkness, it is the world, it is Satan, who is blinding their minds and closing their ears off and their eyes so that they not receive this gospel, which is the gospel and the saving power of Jesus Christ. So when you're sharing the gospel, why does Uncle John, why does your family members not receive Christ? Well, there's an entity in there trying to keep them from the gospel, that their value stays in the world, not in Christ. So the battle becomes against this whole thing, people coming to Jesus. There's this whole battle that darkness, Satan doesn't want people to come to Jesus. He wants them to keep their value and their life and everything they do into the world. And here we find that there is a battle going on. Now I want to share with you that do share the gospel. Now you know that I'm talking about the people that share the gospel. When you go out and you share the gospel, the Holy Spirit gives you, you can feel the heaviness and the weight and the darkness that's fighting against you. But somehow, you know, it's not like, I don't know really what to say. I'm not sure what to say. Well, the scripture says, when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit speaks for us. And you know what? When you go in there and you're like, I'm not sure what I'm going to say, but I know that I need to share the gospel with this person. I don't know how to start. I don't know how to finish it. I don't know what I'm really going to say. But let me just tell you, when you say, Lord, here I am, I'm going to do what your spirit is urging me to do. I'm going to step in there and I'm going to do what you just give me the words, and he will give you the words. I promise you, he will give you the words. Because he knows that your words aren't going to work. Your plan's not going to work. You're fighting more than just, you're not just trying to, you're sharing the gospel and you're already struggling with what to say. There's a person here that needs to come to Christ, but also there's another entity to fighting for that person not to come to Christ. Not to come to Christ. This is why we don't give up and we keep sharing the gospel. We don't give up and we keep praying. There is a battle that is there. Satan wants to continue to keep people lost into the world where everything is, their value and everything is in the world. But that is only temporal. So why is it so hard for people to come to Christ? Because it's a battle. There's the darkness that's fighting. And when you start sharing the gospel, you're going to get into some spiritual battles. You're going to get into some spiritual warfare. You're going to get into some of that because you're talking about the most valuable thing in the world and the universe of all mankind is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost person. Number three. So, why battle? Why? So the question is really, what does a person receive at salvation? If this person does come to Christ and you have come to Christ in your life and you've taken your worth away from the world and you put your worth into the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, He invests in you. The world does not invest in you. The world does not invest in you. People are chasing dreams all the time. Got a young man growing up. He's 13 years old. He can throw 60 miles an hour. He is throwing it. He's got a curveball that is just amazing. And the parents will get in there and then they'll put him in. He'll sit there and start playing some good ball. And he's getting really, everybody's talking about him. Man, he is the news clips. He's doing pretty good. Next thing you know, they're going to go in and start playing high school. Now start playing what they call travel ball. They're getting in there. Oh, we got to do that. Then spending all that money going out buying a big RV or going to spending all their time spending all their time in the hotel rooms, doing all that, trying to build it. Man, my boy's going to be a pro. My boy's going to be a pro. Get it up there. Hits about college. Gets the first year. Got a scholarship. Boom. His knee goes out. He's done. You know what the university says? I'm sorry, buddy. You did great. But here, we're taking our scholarship back because we want somebody of more value. And dad's sitting there with his heart broken because that was my boy. I'm living my life through him now. And that's how the world is. The world is always going to be very disappointing. And listen, I got pastor friends down south, and travel ball is a mess. A third of my church is gone every Sunday with travel ball. thinking their boy's going to be the greatest ball player. Their daughter's going to get this full ride in college because she's a great softball player. As soon as you get hurt, goodbye. They'll come and recruit at the next person's house, and they're going to recruit, and they're going to say, your son is so awesome. Listen, your son is amazing. And what you're telling me really is my son can throw a ball. Read some of the stories of our entertaining of the wrestling world, as much where you watch it or not, you don't agree, whatever. Just look at them after they get beat down so hard, they end up living in trailer courts. Yeah, some of it's their choice. They didn't know how to work their money, whatever. But they're in trailer courts and the world just forgot about them. Because once you're out of the picture, you're out of the picture. You don't draw people, you're done. That's not what the Lord does. The Lord says, you step out of the world and you come to me. You come to Christ, the Lord gives you more than what you can actually even handle. That's why He gives you the Holy Spirit. Let me just share some things what the Lord gives to you, okay? It's not all of them, but it is an amazing list. The first thing He does is He gives you forgiveness. Now, come on now. We're in the Baptist church now. Come on. We get some forgiveness. And I know there's some things in my life I am so thankful for more than others that the Lord Jesus forgive me of those things. Come on now. Forgiveness. I got forgiveness right out the gate. Also, I understand now and understand and receive God's fullness of love. Not that He just loved the world, but now He loves me and even in a more way, as we're going to see here. So I get the all fullness of God's love. He also become part of the family of God. I've been engrafted now, and I am, and you are, if you're a believer, you are part of the family of God, and I got a Father who's going to look after me. I'm not part of the world. I live in the world, but I'm not of the world no more. I got a home, and I'm going to a new home. I got a new place. I'm a citizen in a new place now. I changed my citizenship from the world to the heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I get that, you get that too. And also, my name and your name, if you're a believer, is written in the names and in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me tell you, in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's some good stuff about that in Revelation. And the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, so special that you get your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you get it because you came to Jesus. That's the only reason you get it, because you come to Jesus. Man, the Lord has opened up a package when you come to Christ. Here it is, sanctification. You are set apart. All of a sudden now you have sanctification, but only in Jesus Christ. Come on now, are we in the Baptist church or not? This is the part of good to be in the Baptist, that we can celebrate and get excited. Man, I'm sanctified. I am set apart as a believer in Jesus Christ. As I walk in this dark world, I am part of the light that when it comes in, darkness moves. Not because I'm special, but because He's special. And He makes His sanctification. I get excited. I trip over my words. And Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. And that's when I don't feel God. There are times when we don't. But I'm telling you, there's times when He's quiet. There's a reason for it. He's trying to draw you to Himself. Get yourself occupied with Him. Not all the things in the world. But we have the Holy Spirit. He says, listen, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. You come to me. It's like we say Christmas. And like, man, the kids are spoiled. You give these kids everything. They get everything. And my grandkids, they get a lot too. But here it is. Let me tell you who spoils. God spoils His people. God knows how to spoil His children. He just keeps giving more and more and more. And we need to receive it in a way, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me what I do not deserve. He also gives us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Eternal life. That I'm not going to have to go the end of the ways of the world, but I have eternal life through Christ. Righteousness. Woo! Come on now. Righteousness. We get that as well. Also, reconciliation. Yes. Being reconciled to God where I was separated. I didn't know all about what was going on, but I was lost and didn't know it. But I've been reconciled to God. Justification means I've been vindicated as a believer. That's a believer. That's a believer. He says, you're a believer. You're a believer. So you have justification. I can say I'm a believer because I have Jesus Christ. And I'm justified by saying that I belong to God because I have Jesus. I am justified today by Jesus Christ. And so are you if you're a believer. The removal of condemnation. Woo! Man, I'm glad I'm not going to be condemned. That's not part of my life no more. I'll come to Jesus. Jesus done took care of that. I'm not going to be condemned for anything I've done because I have that forgiveness, and it's all because of Him. Man, He's given us a lot. Access to God. I can go to God through Jesus Christ. Wow. Isn't that amazing? He sits at the right hand of the throne and just works it out with us, and we can get to God through Christ. We have access to God. Oh, amen. Access to God who put the stars there, who causes the four seasons on a ball of mud that He put beautiful places and built a beautiful world. Man sinned and caused a mess, but He still works with it. We have seasons. We have the sun, the moon, stars, and all that He has. We have access to God. On my good days, I can praise Him. On my bad days, I can praise Him. On my good days, I can still pray to Him. On my bad days, I can still pray to Him because I got access to Him 24/7. You couldn't call the governor today and he wouldn't answer your call because you know what? You have no value in the world. You're not important enough to answer that call. He's not going to answer that call because you are. He don't know. You're a nobody. You don't know Him. He don't know you. You're a vote. Same thing with all the other political positions. But He knows you. And He'll take that call 24/7. He'll take that call when you're doing great. He'll take that call when you're messing up. We have access to God. But we also have an eternal peace from God that God only gives. He gives it. There's a peace inside of a believer that the world will never, never feel or understand. There is a peace. Even though all the world is like getting really crazy right now, we're hearing rumors of World War III, we're hearing all that, and in the flesh we can like, ooh, in the flesh, but we don't, ooh, we back up and we go, you know what, I'm good. I have a peace. Even when you go to the hospital and you're going through something, you're working through some difficulties, there's a part of it that gives you a peace, and it may be, feel like it's a small peace, but I'm telling you, that small peace, a peace is more powerful than anything you're standing in front of. There's a peace that only God gives. It's an eternal peace from God. Also, when we think that we're alone, we're not alone. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit. But we also have angels around us as well. I want to read a scripture to you. It's in Hebrews. I think it's 1:24. And this scripture here is a really good piece. Yeah, it's Hebrews 1:14. It says, are not all ministering, which are angels, sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? So what we know here is that as a believer, there are angels, and some people call guardian angels, I don't really use that term, but there are angels that are around us always. Why? Because you carry the torch. Because you are a believer. That's the only reason. You are a believer. You are a believer. You are a believer in what? You are a believer in Jesus Christ. So what does a person receive in salvation? I'm not going to go over that whole list again. But you see, it is a big package. And there are other things as well. A big package. Wow, God gives us a lot. He also gives us a purpose. He gives us spiritual gifts. I didn't put those in there. You at least get one spiritual gift. You get a lot, more than what you can handle. That's why we have to keep saying, Lord, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I be? You're a new creation in Christ. Man, God's given us a lot through that. So what does a person receive from salvation? They receive a lot from the Lord. And they're all good. They're all good and they're all big. And they're all things that the world cannot purchase or buy or hold and carry. It doesn't understand these things. And that's why, the question number two, why can't Uncle John come to Jesus? Because Satan says, I don't want that person to get all that God has. And when you do, Scripture also says that when there's a salvation, that the glory in heaven, they just praise the Lord. They worship. They get excited. And we should be excited too. So my fourth question is, how can I receive salvation? How can I receive salvation? Baptism isn't salvation. Going to church is not salvation. My mom and dad are believers. They go to church. That doesn't make me have salvation. We want to make it complicated. You got to say these three things. You got to do this, this, and that. I understand some of those things are really good to learn and work. ABCs, that's good. Admit, believe, confess. Those are great things. And what does the Bible say? How does a person come to Christ? Because I'm telling you, if you don't have Christ, you don't have any of this stuff I'm talking about today. We'll go back to the very beginning. What you have is what the world says you have. Because you're lost in your sins. You don't have Christ. You're living in the world. Your value is of the world. And let me just remind you, Satan thinks you are worth nothing. You are worth absolutely nothing. And he'll give you what you think you want. He can do that. Darkness can do that, but it is to crush you in the end. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. I'm going to remind you that he rebels against God. Continues to rebel. And that's what he does. But how can a person come from the world and come into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is this in Romans 10:9. It's very simple. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he says, one believes with his heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with his mouth, resulting in salvation. People want to get saved, but they say, I don't want to do this. They start putting two or three things on it. Even with baptism, I want to do baptism, but I'm listen, if you want to come, Jesus says, you come on. And here he is. He says this, you need to confess with your mouth. Confess what? The Bible simply says that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart. There's the other part that you have to unzip and open the door of your heart. Jesus says, I knock at the door. In Revelation 3:20, I knock at the door. He's knocking at the door and saying, listen, if you let me in, I'll come in. But I'm not going to force myself. You got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and who the Bible says he is. That he is God's one and only Son who came and died upon a cross. Was crucified for all mankind, paying the price. That if anyone would confess with their mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've not done that, if you've not confessed that Jesus is Lord, and you've not believed in your heart that God is who he is and Jesus is who he is, then you don't have salvation. There's no other way. There's no other name under heaven which thou might be a person, a man, can be saved. It is only by the name of Jesus Christ. It is only by Jesus. If you don't have salvation, you are lost. And you can go out and live in this world and you can have your value in this world. But in the end, let me remind you, every person living in the world, regardless of what they have in the end, is bankrupt. Because the world will take everything you got in the end. You can't take nothing with you. The world doesn't let you take anything. And then the family squabbles all over the worldly things. And the Lord knows that you need those things. But it will squabble all over those things and tear families apart. And that's exactly what the world loves to do. But when a person dies who knows who Jesus Christ is, all that other stuff, they may squabble over it a little bit too, but they don't care about that. Because they're taking things into heaven with them. They're taking the love of God with them. They already have it. They're taking all the things that God's already given to them. So we don't talk about what we take into heaven. We take a joy into heaven. We take our peace of the Lord into heaven. We take our salvation into heaven. We take our righteousness into heaven. And all that stuff will be accelerated even at a higher level. Because we only get... We get what we need here, but when we get into heaven, it's even bigger than that. So I'm asking you, why is our hearts not broken for the lost people in our family or in the city or in the world? Why are we not on our knees at home or in the church house or even at the altar saying, Lord, have mercy on my community. Have mercy on my family. For now I know that a man and every man, every woman needs Jesus Christ. the worth of a person to the world is whatever the world wants to say it is. But you can't hold it, and you can't keep it. And everybody's trying to get it. But the worth of a person with Jesus is everything. It's so much that God does it with love. And he says, I love so much. Looks bad. I ain't got nothing that can pay. But I got one thing. My son can pay for all their sins. And I can get them back. Where is your heart with the Lord today? Salvation real for you, or you've been playing the game? Maybe you need to get your salvation. You need to work it out, as the Bible says. You work out your salvation. Maybe you need to start working it out instead of just taking it and receiving it and locking it up and just saying, I got mine. Maybe you need salvation today. Maybe you're like, wow, I just didn't really know. I mean, I need salvation. I need Jesus today. Maybe your heart needs to be broken for lost people, the community, the people that are living around you. Fathers, I've heard your word this morning through song and through your word here. Lord, if there is anyone or any ones, Lord, that are here that doesn't have you, I pray, Lord, as I prayed earlier and yesterday, that you would draw them to yourself for salvation today. But we also know today that there is a dark side that fights against a person coming to Christ. We stand against that side this morning. Lord, I pray for those that are believers here today, Lord, that need to be reminded of what they have in you, that they might get excited about wanting to share you more and starting to get a brokenness for those who don't know you. I pray, Father, that that would be heavy upon our hearts. I pray, Father, you take this moment of our altar call time, that you do what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go.